This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I read a piece in Connecticut Inside Investigator. I thought that was really interesting. I always wonder about the Freedom of Information Act, and you know how it works, and also really what's the accountability? What if a municipality or a government isn't compliant? What if they're not willing to? Because usually it might be for some things that don't make them look particularly good, right? And Catherine Ravello wrote this piece in Inside Investigator. You can go to insideinvestigator.org and read it. It's titled "Most Egregious Abuse: East Haven Gets $5,000 FOIC Fine." And I wanted to welcome in Catherine to the show here on Bryan & Company. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the program.
Thanks for coming on. You get really in the weeds in East Haven, but I want to do that. But I also want to expand it about just sort of. You maybe use a journalist or in general thoughts on the Freedom of Information Act and how it's handled. What happened in East Haven? How can you sort of like summarize it?
Right. So this is a case where essentially a lawyer who represented the first female firefighter in East Haven was attempting to get records that are also related to an ongoing federal civil action being brought against the town. The town fought really hard to not turn those records over. And the basis of the fine is really about, at one point, the town had prepared a legal memo that they said might be responsive to the request. A lawyer for Nina Parati, who was requesting the records, went to go view that memo, and they essentially said, well, we'll only turn it over to you if you agree to drop the request. As it's detailed more in our story, there's a whole bunch more details that go through the Freedom of Information Commission where they're not complying with turning records over, but that really is the basis of the fine.
Why would they horse trade showing her with dropping the request?
I think in this case it was because there's also an ongoing federal lawsuit against the town, and so you know they attempted to get the request dismissed, saying that those records should be released through the discovery process in the lawsuit, and they didn't want to release the records.
Got it. Oh, that was another question I had. This whole thing about if it's a legal case, discovery protects the documents, and that overrules the Freedom of Information request.
Not in this case. It didn't. The Freedom of Information Commission found that the records should be releasable.
Okay. So that was the ultimate result. They had to release. But they were being coy with that, too. They were going to show it on a computer screen and all this other stuff. It was kind of bizarre. But eventually they did turn it over, correct?
They were ordered by the commission to turn it over. But my understanding at the time that this complaint was finalized is they are still not fully complying with that order to turn the records over.
And I'm curious if, because I don't know, what is the oversight over this? So there's a commission. Is it in state and federal? Like, I don't know the whole infrastructure of it. So if you make a, Freedom of Information Act request and it's not honored, who do you go to complain, and what's that process like?
Right. So if you file a FOIA request and you feel that it isn't being fulfilled, you have 30 days from the last time that you communicate about that request or when the request is denied to go to the Freedom of Information Commission and to make a complaint. And they are the body that looks at complaints, that handles them, that makes a ruling on them. If a party it doesn't like what the FOIC rules, then they can go to the court system and appeal that ruling. Hmm.
Is there, I feel like, especially when it relates to like bad news, is there like a history? And I don't know what sort of requests you've done in your career. I haven't done any in my journalistic career, so I don't know how it goes. But in terms of stonewalling, does it happen a lot?
It does. I actually wrote a previous piece about East Haven that is entitled Stonewalling. Because East Haven, one of their issues is they route every single Freedom of Information request that comes to the town through the town attorney. This is something that has occurred in Bridgeport a lot and results in backlogs and delays.
So, but I mean, I'm also curious whether this happens in a lot of FOIA requests, like everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it is an ongoing issue. One of the issues with FOIA in Connecticut is there's no real timeline for when agencies have to answer requests, right? In Rhode Island, for instance, if you submit a request to a public agency, they have 10 days to deal with it. In Connecticut, all the law says is you have to respond to it promptly. There's no actual time limit on it unless you go to the FOIC, who is going to adjudicate whether it was answered promptly or not. It's kind of an open-ended question. Mm.
We're talking with Catherine Ravello from CT Inside Investigator here on Brian and Company. You know, so will there be a follow, I guess? I mean, what's the next step if they haven't been fully compliant? You know, what would the next step be?
So the next step would be either for the town to go to the court system and appeal the ruling, or for Nina Parati, who is the complainant in this case, to go to the court system and say they're not following the FOIC's order.
Hmm. Anything coming out soon you can share, or you want to keep it under wraps till you publish it?
My next piece will be about the some of the allegations of Axe Blue fraud that are going on in the state.
Oh, is that like a PAC?
That's the major fundraising platform for Democrats.
Oh yeah, that's been a controversial one too. Well, we'll be reading it. We appreciate the time. Again, go to insideinvestigator.org or just sort of Google Catherine Ravello with a K, and CT Inside Investigator will take you right there to the jump page. Thanks. I mean, this is important stuff, and I think that one of the reasons I wanted to have you on is that I think that the integrity of FOIA is important. I mean, I'm surprised that there aren't more documents like destroyed. I mean, the fact that they keep the records I always find the system is always on edge of not working. So I want it to work. So I really appreciate a piece like this.
Yep. And we hear a lot of those stories, and we always want to report more on those stories. So if you hear something like that, Catherine at insideinvestigator.org, we're happy to listen to you.
All right. Have a great week, Catherine. Thank you.
All right, great. Thanks.